you can come right now.
Amen.
And you can receive him as your Savior. I tell you, the Lord is able. He's able to do anything but fail. And he's waiting with open arms. He says, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. And he said, I will give you rest. And I tell you, you come just as you are. Stop worrying about what you did. Stop worrying about who you are. Stop worrying about the past. Just move on in the name of Jesus. I guarantee you Jesus will change you. If I look back over my life and see where God has brought me, never in a million years would I have thought that I'd be standing here in anybody's church preaching the gospel.
Amen.
If somebody would have told me that a long time ago, well, they did tell me that, and I laughed at them. I never will forget, and I'm trying to hush. I went to a tent revival, a friend of ours and mine, and we had just come out the club, but they had it on the corner, and we just went in there. And we're sitting in the back. And the preacher said, y'all two preachers come up front. And I looking back. And we were looking back, two preachers. He said, yeah, I'm talking to y'all. Y'all don't know it yet. Y'all gonna be two preachers. Y'all gonna preach. And I said, oh man, come on. So we went up front and he started talking. He prayed for us. So we left. And we were laughing at him. Man, this man a fool. Now my friend, he may have been a preacher because his daddy was a preacher. But the only person they ever preached in my family was my great-grandfather. And I said, I ain't gonna worry about that. But I lived to see that man again after the Lord called me to preach. And I said, man, you know, I laughed at you, Reverend, when you told me that. I said, both of us. And guess what? Both of us are pastoring right now. It just goes to show you sometimes people can see things in you that you don't see yet. Because it was at least about 5 years before I became a pastor after he said, a preacher after he said that.
Amen.
Amen.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Join us as we open our Bibles, hearts, and minds to be blessed by the Word of God as Dr. Joshua Joy Dara, Senior Pastor of Zion Hill Church Family, gives us insight into the gospel in plain English.
Join the Zion Hill Church family for an unforgettable family and friends weekend celebration Friday, March 15th through the 17th. This three-day celebration will begin with a free concert on Friday, March 15th featuring Zacardi Cortez.
Lord, do it for me.
Doors open at 5 p.m. and there are 100 VIP $25 meet and greet passes available at zionhill.com. On Saturday, come enjoy The Color Purple at the Zion Hill Theater. Movie starts at 6 p.m. And Sunday, March 17th, two dynamic worship services, 8 a.m. and 10 a.m., with breakfast at 9. Join Zion Hill Family and Friends Weekend Celebration, Friday, March 15th through the 17th at Zion Hill Church Family, 312 Hunter Street in Pineville. For more info, call 318-704-6900. Visit them on Facebook, zionhill.com, or the Zion Hill app.
Zion Hill.
Welcome to the Zion Hill Church Family Broadcast, where faith finds its home and every soul is welcomed with open arms. Nestled in the vibrant community of Pineville, Louisiana, under the compassionate leadership of Pastor Joshua Joydera, visit our online sanctuary at zionhill.com. That's Z-I-O-N-H-I-L-L.com. Now, let's join the broadcast, already in progress.
If you have your Bible, please turn to the book of Nahum, chapter 1. Let's stand for the reading of the word. Thank God for all of our guests. It's going to be short and sweet today, so we can go home and hang out with family. Nahum, that's N-A-H-U-M. Some of you, you can find it in the Bible. You find yourself in Genesis, you say, that's good enough. And you just pretend as if you're in Nahum. The book of Nahum, chapter 1, verse number 7. Just one verse. The Bible said, the Lord is good. I can stop there and shout all day. If you don't get anything out of this, just get a simple revelation that the Lord is good. In the morning is good. In midday is good. Late in the midnight hour is still good. Amen. One day I found myself in the hospital, and the first thing that came out of my mouth, the Lord is still good. The Bible said the Lord is good. He's a stronghold in the days of trouble. And guess what else? He knoweth those who trust him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word. Holy Spirit, we are grateful for all the singing, all the praying, all the giving. Now we want to hear from heaven. Thank you for every family represented here. Lord, I pray that something will be said or done to increase our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, I pray for your help to communicate the gospel, to proclaim your word, and help our hearing, oh God. Let us understand and comprehend what God is saying to all of us. I thank you that lives will be changed. I thank you that prayers will be answered. I thank you for healing in our bodies. I thank you for deliverance for everyone that is addicted today. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Our subject for discussion is titled, What to Do in Times of Trouble. You need to know what to do in time of trouble. Just a quick background for this message. I got to confess to you that one of the things that pastors do for a living is that we are in the business of ministering to people individually and collectively. When people get in trouble, they pick the phone, they call the pastor. When the devil is trying to mess with their lives, they call the pastor. When they need prayer, they call the pastor. And it's not just members of this church, but members of the community. And it's good to know that people can trust your pastor for guidance and for prayer. So I noticed lately there's been a lot of calls, especially from the community. So by permission of the Holy Spirit, my assignment is to encourage you and to teach you what to do when you find yourself in times of trouble. Please remember that early this year we had Watch Night service, and during that worship experience, the Holy Ghost revealed to all of us that this year will be a year of shake-up. There will be a lot of shaking. The Bible says, everything that can be shaken shall be shaken. The good news is that for those of us, you and me, who are children of God, God said if we would dwell in Goshen, we have divine protection. That's good to know, ladies and gentlemen. So we are not surprised by all the problems of this world. I share with the congregation this morning. Yesterday we went to the burying ground to bury one of our loved ones, and we had to wait in line because the place was busy. So there is trouble in the land when you have to wait in line at a burying ground. That's not good. There is trouble in our world today. While I was riding with some of the deacons, they shared with me what happened in Kendal, Louisiana. Somebody just got shot, killed his own child. The mother brought the child to see the daddy, and the daddy shot the child and told the mama, "You will never see this child again." Trouble in our land. We have to ask ourselves the question, where does trouble come from? Ladies and gentlemen, you need to know in the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, the Bible says in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Two real estates. Heaven and earth. Then you keep on reading the scripture. Verse number 2 says, the earth was without form. The earth was void. The Bible says there was darkness in the midst of the deep. Please take note that all the mess going on was not in heaven. He said the earth was without form. The earth was void. The earth was full of darkness. So one good news for all of God's children today is that whenever you hear of trouble, whenever you hear of problem, it's on earth. There is no problem in heaven. There is no trouble in heaven. Amen. That's why we'll be singing, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Then we say, hallelujah, hallelujah. We are going to see. In our revelation, we say, no more dying there. We are going to see the King. Oh, no more dying there. We are going to see the King. No more dying there. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, we're going to see. You see, in heaven, you will never hear of earthquake. In heaven, You will never hear of hurricane. You know, we have all kinds of stuff here. Tornado. All of a sudden, our whole city was on fire in Hawaii somewhere. Now it moved to Texas, just next door to us. All kinds of trouble. But always know, all of that is right here on earth, not in heaven. The good news, ladies and gentlemen, because you might say, okay, oh man, that's no good. We live on earth, and the pastor said all the trouble is here on earth. The good news is that there is no trouble too big for God. Amen, somebody. Nothing is too big for God. So whatever you're going through right now, always know in your knowing that God can fix it. There is an example of the ability of God to solve every problem. It's found in the book of Matthew chapter 17, beginning from verse 15 through verse 18. A man had a child, and this child was diagnosed with lunatics. Well, the Bible described what was going on, but it was obvious this man had a serious problem. The Bible said when this lunacy will come upon this child, he began to shake. He'll be forming stuff in the mouth, will be coming out. The Bible said sometimes this child will throw himself in fire. Sometimes he will throw himself in the water. You know, that's a real problem. That means that child, let me put it in plain English, he needed a 24/7 attention. That means the mama and the daddy, they will have no life. They had trouble. So they came to Jesus. Unfortunately for them, Jesus was tied up, was busy. So they went to the disciples. You know how it is. Some of you want to see me, and then you come to see me, and then you find somebody else has already seen me. So you say, okay, let me talk to the deacons or anybody. So this man talked to the disciples. And ladies and gentlemen, the disciples prayed all day, all night, but they couldn't help this child. So the Bible said the man will not give up. That's a lesson by itself. Some of you, you give up too quickly. Amen. Even in your giving, if you really want to provoke God to bless you, you can't give and quit. You got to, the Bible says, cast your bread upon the waters. Then it said, after many days. See, a lot of people are broke because they don't know how to provoke heaven for result. They give, then they say, I guess this don't work for me. But they forget you have to wait many days. You will never see a rain in your life until the cloud is formed. It takes time. The sun, simple science, have to evaporate all the water from the ocean, from the rivers, and then it form a cloud, and the cloud begin to grow bigger and bigger. And then when it gets so big, then it rains. But don't expect rain until your cloud is fully formed. You'll be amazed how many miracles we miss in life because we quit too soon. That's why the Bible says, let us not be weary in well doing. There will be a due season if we don't quit. If we don't give up, thank you, Reverend. You see, this man did not get result. You'll be amazed how many of you are praying, you didn't get result, and you give up. I guess God don't want me to have a husband. He came back. He came to Jesus. He said, sir, have mercy on me. I brought my problem to your disciples. They couldn't help me. Notice what Jesus said. Jesus said to the man, he said, bring him to me. There's a lesson there, because many of us have trouble, we have problem, but we are too busy trying to fix it. You have to learn to bring your trouble to Jesus. Are you all listening to me this morning? You call everybody, your best friend, baby daddy, all people that can't help you, they can't even help themselves. You need to bring your problem to Jesus. The songwriter say, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. You know why? Oh, because we do not care. Not some things. Everything to God in prayer. See, learn to cast all your cares upon him. The Bible said he cared for you. The Bible said his yoke is easy, his burden is light. So let's learn from this man. Yes, he faced some disappointment, but he brought his problem to Jesus. Jesus said, bring it to me. And you know what happened in that story? Eventually, God, Jesus Christ, healed that young man. He was totally set free. And then a few days later, here comes the disciples. They say, Reverend, you got to help us with something. Why is it that we couldn't help that child? We prayed just like you prayed. We shouted just like you shouted. Why is it that the trick didn't work for us? And Jesus told them, you did not succeed, not because you didn't pay your tithes, not because you didn't show up for church, not because you didn't speak in tongue. He said, you did not succeed because of your unbelief. Ladies and gentlemen, please take note of that. Not only do you have to bring your problem to Jesus, but you have to learn to believe in him. Tea so sweet. To trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus says the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, oh, I trust you. Oh, I prove you more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust you more. You got to learn to trust Jesus. I don't care what anybody say. Doctors, lawyers, engineers, all these experts. I hear the Lord say, let all men be liars. Let God be true. Ladies and gentlemen, so Jesus said to them, the disciples, the reason why you didn't get it right is because of your unbelief. Notice Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you. Did you notice that? He said, verily, verily, I say unto who?
You.
Me. He's talking to us. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, for sure, certainly. He said, if you have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, be removed, and it will move. That's something to shout about. Jesus said, what you need to get result for your trouble is faith in God. And then he concluded his statement in that verse. He said, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Can you imagine what Jesus said? Absolutely nothing. That includes your trouble. That include my trouble. That include anything you may be going through right now. Look at somebody next to you and make this prophecy over him. And say, neighbor, nothing shall be impossible unto you if you believe. Try it again. Say, neighbor, listen to me. Nothing shall be impossible unto you if you what? If you believe. See, if I were in the courtroom right now, I would say, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I rest my case. The secret for you and me receiving from God is to believe God. Whenever you find yourself not receiving, check your belief. Somebody talk to God one day and say, help my unbelief. So begin to search the scripture. Begin to look at that situation and develop your belief system. The day you get to the point that you know, that you know, that you know, everything will be all right. No devil can deny you. It is all about belief. Somebody say, I've got a feeling everything gonna be all right. Oh, I've got a feeling everything gonna be. What does he know? I got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. Be all right. Be all right. Be all right. You see, in his understanding, he said, the Holy Ghost them told me. Once you get it, no devil can deny you of what you know. That's why the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. The reason why you can be still while everybody's is because of what you know. Are you still here this morning? Ladies and gentlemen, the book of Nahum say You got to trust God. One scripture put it even more bluntly in the book of Luke chapter 18 verse 27. He said the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. Imagine you've been to the doctor. They say, well, we can't help you. Well, you go to another expert. Well, we've done everything we can do. Then you go to, you read about it, where they say 98% of the people never get healed. Everybody running their mouth. But the Bible says the things that are impossible with men and women of this world, when it comes to God, all things are possible. And the text we read today, Nahum chapter 1 verse 7, he said you need to remind yourself that God is good. God is good. God is good. So then the book said, in that same verse, when you are in trouble, God permits you to hold on to him. That's very significant. Because, you know, right now, you got buddies, you got acquaintances, you got loved ones. But you know what I found out in my sister-something years of living? They will hang out with you as long as you smell good. You wait until you begin to stink. Most of them will jump ship. Are you all listening to me? As long, I've seen so many marriages collapse. You know why? As long as you got the money, as long as you got the goods, they'll stick around. But you wait until you lose your job, and you wait until your health fails you. And that's when Brother Baba, see, I've been riding this wave with you all this year, but it's not a ride or die. I'm out of here. You go to the courthouse and find out why do people file for divorce. They let you know. During good time, everybody is happy. Everybody get along until your health begin to fail. Until your money is funny. But here we see the Lord talking to you and me in Nahum chapter 1 verse 7. He said, God is good. He said, when you get in trouble, you can hold on to him. The problem with many of us is that we are busy holding on to other people who is also in trouble. So when he's in trouble and I'm in trouble, and we are trying to be buddies, that's double trouble. Have you ever seen folks tell you, I'll get you a car, and he don't have one? That'll make you scratch your head and say, wait a minute, am I missing something? If somebody says he'll buy you a clothes, check out what he's wearing. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm suggesting to you, if there's somebody you can depend on, his name is Jesus. Amen. Amen. He said you can cast all your cares upon him, and he permits you and me to hold on to him. And he permits you and me to hold on to him. You don't need nobody but God. Ladies and gentlemen, I've tried this for my own sake. Many times, every now and then, I run into trouble. Sometimes the devil will bring trouble to me. Sometimes I bring trouble to my own self. Mm-hmm. I create my own trouble. But you know, have you noticed that it don't matter how you get in trouble. God said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be a friend that is closer than a brother. God will look beyond your fault and saw your need. I am a living witness. When I look back over my own life and see what should have happened, the things that almost happened, and God in his grace and mercy, I'm still here. Somebody say, thank God. Ladies and gentlemen, you need somebody who is well to pray for you when you are sick. You don't need somebody who is sick. You need somebody that is alive. When the devil is trying to kill you, find somebody who is alive. And God is saying here, when you are in trouble, you can count on him. That's why we say, hold to God. Unchanging hand. Build your hope on things eternal. Hope to God unchanging. You see what we say? Hope to his hand. God's unchanging hand. You better hold. God's unchanging hand, build your hope on things eternal. Oh, to God, change. You see, life is full of mess. Life is full of sweet constriction. So many surprises you walk into. I got it. You don't even see trouble coming. But when you find yourself in a ditch, learn to hold on to God. Amen, somebody. The Bible says God is good. God is a stronghold. So when I'm in trouble, in the days of trouble, I've learned to hold on to him. Psalms 27 begin to talk about it this way. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. I'm not going to fear nobody. The Lord is the strength of my life. I'm not going to be afraid of nobody. Even my enemies and my foe, when they're trying to chase me, the Bible says they will stumble and fall. Though our holes in capital, my confidence is in him. You know why we have this confidence? The Bible says because in the time of trouble. And that's right, Reverend. I don't know about you, God has hidden me many times on my job. I don't know about you, I've screwed up sometime on my job. Don't tell my employer, but you know, you're just between you and me. Yeah, I just screwed up. And I'm thinking, oh man, I done messed up so bad. You know, the other day one lawyer told me, you know, that's my homeboy. He's a lawyer. You know, he can relate to that. There's something we call Rule 10.1. That's where they send you pre-trial discovery stuff. Answer this question, answer that question. So I forgot about it. And then you have so many days to answer now. And so these rules say if you don't answer, they can file a motion to compel you. You know? But God, you know, I got so many other things I'm worrying about, I didn't forget about that case. And sure enough, they filed this thing. The judge say, oh, the judge say, is that revenge? He said, motion dismissed. I never had to respond to it. For in the time of trouble, he will hide you. Sometimes you are sleeping, you are snoring, but in the middle of the night, there are angels that are watching over you. Are you all listening to me? Don't let the devil have the last say in your life. Amen, somebody. You got to learn to trust God. Your car breaks down, trust God. The washer won't work, trust God. Amen. I'll never forget, I was in Baton Rouge. My wife and I, we had a Chevrolet. It's a green car. Everybody knows me in Baton Rouge. In fact, they thought I'm a mosquito sprayer, you know, because my cars smoke so bad. You see, all those bambinos that you see now, they're all doing fine now. I put all of them in that beat up automobile. But I had to learn to trust God. Look at me now. For in the time of trouble, he will hide me. I told somebody yesterday, I was so broke, I had only one shoe. They don't even have a shoe store in the place where I grew up. So I have to get a newspaper and put my ugly foot in it and then draw a trace. That's how they know my size. You don't have a size in Africa. You have to trace your feet and then send the newspaper to a big city. Hopefully you have somebody that will find your size. And I had only one pair of shoes until I was 18 years old. But now I got so many shoes, I don't even know which one to wear. For in the time of trouble, God will hide you. You got to have faith in him. What is faith? Faith is when you trust. Things don't look good. The devil know it, you know it too, and people can see. But you trust God. Faith is when you learn to believe God. I couldn't think of any example. I said to people, you go to the doctor's office, and the doctor will diagnose you. He will tell you this is what's wrong with you. Then he give you a prescription, and then you drive your car to the pharmacy and fill that prescription with your own money, and then you take the pill, you put it in your mouth. But you have no clue what's in it. It could be a poison that will kill you. But you take it. Why? Because you believe in your doctor. Because you have faith in your doctor. Because you trust your doctor. And some of you will not only take it, you go back for refill. And many of you have been taking what the doctor told you to take since 1902. One time, my friend, his name is Jeff. He's a pharmacy. He's the director of pharmacy over there in the government hospital. And he was just going through my medication. He said, whoa, 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 don't take that. I said, I've been taking all this year. He said, who the blame, who gave you this? And he was able to show me that one medication I'm taking is in conflict with the other medication I'm taking. But I didn't know. But I had faith in my doctor. He was so upset, he personally called my doctor and make him apologize to me. But look at all the time I've been taking. You know why? Because I have faith. Where, if you will have faith on a human being, when are you going to have faith in God? When are you going to trust God with your health? When are you going to trust God with your children? When are you going to trust God with your dreams, with your vision? When are you going to trust God with your future? My brothers, my sisters, if you don't hear anything else, please grab hold of this. God wants you to cast all your cares upon him. You know, something else he said, though. He said he knows those who trust him. Until you can trust God, don't expect any miracle from God. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Let me say this to you in conclusion. One more verse. In the book of Nahum, chapter 1, read verse 9 this time. You know what verse 9 says? He said, look, affliction shall not rise up again the second time. For you, my brother. That's for you, my sister. That's for you. That's for you. God said affliction would never rise up again the second time. I don't know what you've been through, but God sent me to tell you whatever it is that you went through, God will not permit it to come to pass again. The second time. Open your mouth, shout amen. Amen. You know, sometimes we get sick. I've seen people that have cancer, and the Lord healed them, and they're cancer free. But then, a few years later, the cancer will come back again. I've seen people who are delivered, set free from mental illness, dementia, Alzheimer's, their mind was keeping them, and the Lord made a way. Then the devil, he will cause you to go back to what you used to be. I've seen people who go to jail, they serve their time, and they are free now, they're out. But the devil wants to make you go back to prison so you can spend the rest of your life. But I hear the Lord say in Nahum chapter 1 verse 19, that mess, that affliction, that cancer would never come back to you the second time. Open your mouth, shout amen. I don't know who I'm preaching to. I don't know what you've been through. I don't know what God had delivered you from before. But God is sending me to tell you that diagnosis, that mess will never come back to you again. Open your mouth, shout amen. Open your mouth, shout amen. If you receive that, shout amen. We don't serve a dead God. See, there are some things I've been through. I had a mini stroke. But when I read this scripture, I received the provision of God. Never again. If you hear me dead, no, it's not going to be a stroke. That affliction will not come back to you the second time. Receive it right now. He that the Son of God set free, he is free indeed. Stand to your feet. We're going to pray right now. We're going to believe God that what he say shall come to pass. Amen. My sister, please come back to the stage. I believe with all my heart, God is desiring to set somebody free today. This woman of God was talking about finance a few minutes ago, and my soul was limping for joy. Revelation knowledge, I couldn't resist. And she testified how God did it for her. Well, God is no respecter of person. What is done for someone, who would do it for us? Find somebody close to you. Hold their hand. Let's believe God together for a miracle. Affliction shall never come back a second time in your life. In the name of Jesus. By his stripe, you're not trying to be healed. You're already healed. Say like you mean it. I'm already healed. Receive it right now in the name of Jesus. Say like you mean it. I'm already blessed. I am already blessed. I'm not trying to be blessed. When I walk into the room, blessings. The Bible says, goodness and mercy shall follow me. We're going through some drama in my workplace right now. And they will ask me, say, Dr. Dada, why are you always smiling? Why you get on television every day and you're full of smile? What is going on? There is something on the inside. I've got a feeling everything will be all right. Whatever the devil meant for evil in your life, the Son of God will turn it around for your good. I say he will turn it around for your good. Open your mind and say, I am blessed. I am healed. In the name of Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, woman of God.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Zion Hill Church family. To hear this sermon in its entirety or hear other sermons, visit our online sanctuary at zionhill.com. That's zionhill.com, where faith finds its home and every soul is welcomed with open arms. Under the leadership of Pastor Joshua Joydera on the Hill in Pineville, Louisiana. If you're ever in the area, come and see what's going on at Zion Hill Church Family.
Join the Zion Hill Church family for an unforgettable family and friends weekend celebration Friday, March 15th through the 17th. This three-day celebration will begin with a free concert on Friday, March 15th featuring Zacardi Cortez. Lord, do it for me. Doors open at 5 p.m. and there are 100 VIP $25 meet and greet passes available at zionhill.com. On Saturday, come enjoy The Color Purple at the Zion Hill Theater. Movie starts at 6 p.m. And Sunday, March 17th, two dynamic worship services, 8 a.m. and 10 a.m., with breakfast at 9. Join Zion Hill Family and Friends Weekend Celebration, Friday, March 15th through the 17th at Zion Hill Church Family, 312 Hunter Street in Pineville. For more info, call 318-704-6900. Visit them on Facebook, zionhill.com, or the Zion Hill app.
To all my people in the struggle, you think God's forgotten about you? Here's some pain medicine. Let's go! come a mighty long way. That's why we love you. From a mighty long way. That's why we love you. Come on. In my end.